Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It seems like we have been looking at the book of Joshua for a long time to still be in chapter 1, but between a few longer extended periods of time between messages and looking at some introductory work, we are going to conclude the first chapter of Joshua tonight. And 2 weeks ago, we finally started to really dig into the chapter, into the book, and we looked at specifically a few things surrounding the changing of leadership between Moses and Joshua. And we looked at a few different things that took place. And the first thing that we looked at was the fact that Joshua was chosen at a specific time. When the appointed time for Joshua to replace Moses as the leader of the nation of Israel took place when God wanted it to take place. There was a very specific time. It wasn't just a haphazard, okay, I think this week we'll decide to choose Joshua to be our leader. And one of the ways that it was very specific was that it wasn't until after Moses was dead that he became the leader of the Israelites. And obviously there really is never a good time to change leadership, especially when a leader is very loved. And it could be a very hard and sensitive thing to do. But the fact that Moses was dead, the fact that he was no longer available to lead, made it easier for the people of Israel to be accepting of this new leader. And obviously they were probably fairly familiar with Joshua from his time as an assistant and a minister to Moses, but also as a spy in the land of Canaan. So it was also a bit easier to accept him as the new leader. We also looked at how the calling of Joshua to be the leader was first and foremost called by God. Right? It wasn't that the people got together and decided to vote on who was going to be the next leader, or Joshua decided to assert himself in as the next leader. We see that God was the one who called Joshua to be the leader. And before anyone had the idea of who was going to take over leadership role of Israel, God knew it was going to be Joshua, because God had been preparing Joshua for this very specific task through different events throughout his life. We also looked at how Joshua was given a very specific call. Right? He was appointed at a specific time, but he was given a specific call. And God had appointed Joshua to become the leader, and now he was giving him things to do as the leader. And Joshua was going to be given tasks by God that he was going to need to do, but also were going to take a lot of faith. These tasks may have not have been in the forefront of Joshua's mind, or even the mind of the people at the time, but they were on the mind of God, and God knew that he needed to instruct Joshua to do these things for him if he was going to lead the people. And the first task that Joshua was given was to cross the Jordan. And that was the first task that was given to Joshua. And if the people of Israel were going to enter the promised land, that was the first step. And we have to remember that this was not going to be an easy task. It wasn't a small trickling stream that the people would walk through and their feet would get wet. And, you know, it's a minor inconvenience. They might have to change sandals or whatever they would do then. But rather, this was a large river that would not have been very easy to cross. And it was going to take a lot of faith, not only on the part of Joshua, but also on the part of the people. And again, this was probably a moment that may have flashed in Joshua's mind from before, when Moses was the leader, when they were about to enter the land. And now he was being instructed to do the same thing, and there may have been some questions that were going through his head at that time. But the second task that Joshua was given to do was the task of actually going and taking the land. And it obviously was not enough just to cross the Jordan River, but they had to go and physically take the land from the people that were inhabiting the land at that time. And again, this was a major task that was going to take a great deal of faith if they were going to accomplish this. Now, the third task that was given to Joshua was that he was going to need to divide the land among the people. Right? And this third task should have given Joshua some confidence to accomplish the first two. Right? If the third task is to divide the land among the people, that should have been some confidence for him to realize that he is going to be able to cross the Jordan, that they are going to be able to conquer the land, and that they were going to be able to divide that land up amongst the different tribes. But again, this was going to be a task in which Joshua was going to have to rely on God, because there were probably a lot of questions about how are they going to divide the land. What tribe is going to get which section? Are the people going to be happy with that selection? Is it going to be enough land for each tribe? How is this going to work? And God does not give the specifics to Joshua and how he's going to do it now, but he does give him the task that he was going to need to divide the land. But not only did we look at the task that Joshua was given, but we also looked at some promises that were given to Joshua by God. And with all of these daunting tasks that Joshua was going to have to accomplish, he was going to need some promises from God as he carried out what God had for him to do. And the first promise that was given to Joshua was the promise that no man was going to be able to stand before him. And this, again, would give him quite a bit of confidence as he was going to lead the nation of Israel in conquering the promised land. Because if no one was going to be able to stand before him, that means that as he was going against other people groups, there wasn't going to be anyone who was going to be able to stand in his way as he was conquering them. But also there could have been a reassurance of that nobody from within the nation of Israel was going to be an issue that may have come up when they were trying to conquer the land. No one from within was going to challenge him for maybe a potential leadership role or even question the decisions that he was making. So the promise of no man being able to stand before him was a very comforting promise. The second promise given to Joshua was that God was going to be with him. Right? This promise was going to enable Joshua to do everything that he was supposed to do. He would not be able to accomplish all of these tasks if this promise was not true in his life. If God wasn't with Joshua, he would have failed in the task that God set out for him to do, because this was something that was going to be beyond Joshua's own power. He was going to need to rely on God, going to rely on his strength in order to accomplish these things. And the promise of God being with Joshua would have been a very comforting promise. And this is also a privilege that Joshua probably had never experienced for a prolonged period of time. Right? Before Christ came and died and rose again, and now as Christians we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, not every person before Christ had the presence of God in their life at all times. And it is given to certain people at certain times, and this was something that Joshua may have experienced when he was a spy in Canaan, but we most definitely, he would have seen this in Moses' life. As the servant to Moses, and even as one who guarded the tent in which Moses met with God. So even though he may have never experienced this, he knew what it was like, and this must have been a very, very comforting promise that I've seen what it has been in Moses' life, and this is what it's going to be in my life and going to enable me to lead these people properly. The third promise given to Joshua was the promise that God was never going to fail him and he was never going to forsake him. As Joshua set out to do what the Lord told him to do, God wasn't going to fail. Right? God was always going to hold up his end of the bargain. Right? And we get a great picture here of some of God's character. Right? We see God's perfection, right? The fact that he can't fail. We see his faithfulness, that he's never going to forsake Joshua. And the final promise that was given to Joshua is that all of his ways were going to prosper. Right? And this speaks to the level of God's goodness. Because not only is he going to have these other promises in his life, and not only is he going to be able to accomplish these things, God is going to bless him above and beyond just the normal tasks that were given. Right? He was going to prosper, not just be successful, but go above and beyond that. And the last thing that we looked at was the commands that were given to Joshua. Right? There were tasks that were given, there were promises given, and there were commands given. And it all started with the command to be strong and courageous. Right? As the appointed leader of the people of Israel, and with these tasks needed to be accomplished, this needed and fueled by the promises of God, Joshua needed to practically apply his faith in his life at this time if he was going to be strong and courageous. Because this isn't something that is normally found among human beings, especially with a large task in front of them. Right? We always seek areas of strength. We seek things of courage. Right? We look up to people that have those things, and Joshua is commanded to be this. And the second command that was given to Joshua was that he needed to obey and observe the law. If Joshua was going to accomplish all these tasks, he needed to be in the will of God. And the way that he was going to be in the will of God was by studying and obeying and observing the law that God had given. Right? This is the same way that we stay in the will of God. Right? As we look to be in God's will, we need to be in our Bibles, to be observing and obeying the laws in which God gives us to be in his will. And this was especially going to be important as he made large decisions that was going to affect the whole nation, right? Of whether or not, and Brother Ben talked about a few of them this morning, of are we going to keep people slaves, or are we going to completely kick them out of the land? Are we going to allow them to stay in the land? These were decisions that needed to be made, and it wasn't up to Joshua to completely decide this. He needed to be in God's will to know what God wanted him to do, and this was going to be by studying, obeying, and observing the law. And then this, as we transition to the next section of chapter 1 this week, we're going to see Joshua getting to work with the first steps of getting ready to conquer the land. And the whole process that was about to take place. And this all really starts with a back and forth between Joshua and the officers of Israel at this time. Right? It's kind of Joshua instructing the officers and the officers responding to what Joshua just said. And we're going to get all this from Joshua 1, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to read through these verses and pray, and then we will see what Joshua has to say to the officers. So Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 10, says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, and within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God hath given them. Then he shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they spake, or and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look at your word, to look at this historical account of Joshua, and seeing how they prepared to enter the promised land and act upon the promises that you had given them. Lord, I pray that we will get truth and insight from this passage of scripture tonight, and that our hearts and minds will be open for your leading. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first and the majority of this passage of scripture is taken up with Joshua encouraging or talking to the officers. So this is Joshua looking at his officers. Maybe it was a meeting in some kind of tent in which he is going to instruct them what to do. And when it comes to leading and instructing a nation, communication is very important. Right? Everyone needs to be on the same page. Right? There needs to be a chain of command that will allow the decisions made by the leader to be spread to the people. Right? It's not like now where we have radio and television and internet, right? Joshua couldn't tweet something out and the whole entire world would see it. He couldn't say something and then the media take it out of context so everyone didn't know what was going on. But we see that the way that news spread among the people was by commanding these officers. And when they commanded these officers, the officers would go among the people and tell the people what the leader had said. Right? This was true in the time of Moses. This was established in the time of Moses, not just in the time of Joshua. And during Moses' leadership time, the nation of Israel was incredibly well organized. Right? It didn't take much effort for Moses to say something to his officers and the people understand what was going to happen. Right? Especially as they wandered through the wilderness, news needed to spread fast. It was going to take a lot of organization to get such a large group of people moving. And I think sometimes we forget how large the nation of Israel was. Right? It wasn't just a couple hundred people that they had to get the news out to. These were several thousands of people that needed to understand what was happening and all be on the same page as they were doing things. But it's important to note that Moses did not assemble the leaders to ask for their advice when Moses established this order. But rather, Moses put these people together, we assume men together, to give them the orders that God gave Moses. Right? This wasn't a committee that was gathered together to try to decide what was going to happen. It wasn't that Moses decided, okay, I'm going to bring one from each tribe and get them together and we're all going to vote to see what we want to do. But rather, this was Moses getting these men together to relate to them what God had already told him. So this was a means of spreading what God wanted them to do. Right? And there are plenty of times when leaders need to consult with their surrounding leadership groups, especially as we see in our context today. But we see then in this passage, this was not one of those times, right? God had given Joshua a very clear message and a task that needed to be done if they were to enter the land. So Joshua did not consult all these men and say, okay, what are we going to do, guys? What do you think we should do? And that kind of happened earlier when the people talked to all the spies about whether or not they should enter the land, right? God had spoken what he wanted them to do. His will was very clear, and the nation had to be ready to obey. And again, this was the same position that Israel was in 40 years earlier. And back then, you know, they knew it was the will of God to do this, but they refused to obey this will of God. They knew that God wanted them to take the land 40 years earlier, but they didn't obey. They listened to the 10 spies that said, we can't do this. Right? And the issue that the people had, again, is they believed the false report instead of obeying the command of God by faith. Right? If they had listened to Caleb and Joshua, they would have spared themselves difficult years of wandering in the wilderness. Right? And there's plenty of time for councils to make decisions, but a committee decision should never substitute for the clear command of God. Right? When God commands something, it needs to be done. And as Joshua began to command the people with instructions to prepare them to cross the Jordan River, I find it very interesting what he commands the people to do. Because if you're getting ready to cross this massive body of water, which it was massive enough to be a significant event, that you would think Joshua would command these people, you know, go get wood and start building boats, or go get materials and let's build a bridge so we can cross. Joshua didn't command them to do that. Joshua commanded them to prepare food. He had faith that God was going to act in a way as he did several years earlier of parting the Red Sea. Joshua didn't try to second-guess God and work things out for himself. Right? He had confidence that God would work on their behalf just as he did all those years ago. He trusted God would perform a miracle. But even though Joshua trusted God to perform a miracle, Joshua still had to prepare. He still had to prepare for the everyday necessities that the people would need to have. Right? Each family had to provide their own food in preparation to enter the land. At this time, manna was still falling each morning for the people of Israel and would continue to fall until Israel was actually in the land. And it's very important that the people prepared food because they needed to stay strong, because they had no idea when they were going to encounter their first obstacle, their first battle. And if these people hadn't prepared food and they're weak and they're hungry and they're tired and they just crossed over this river and they have to fight a battle, you don't want them to be weak. You want them to be strong. You want them to be nourished. So this was a very important step in that process. They needed to be at their full strength. And it's also important to note that Joshua instilled confidence by using wording that showed faith and encouragement. Right? He stated to the people that you shall pass over this Jordan. Not that we're going to, or we might, or it's going to be a tough time, but I think we can get through it. He very authoritatively said, we shall pass over this river. And it's interesting to note that Joshua had probably made a very similar speech 40 years earlier. That generation didn't listen, but that generation was gone. And this new generation was ready to listen. They were ready to take action and cross into the land. And again, this is a good warning for us. As we serve the Lord, we need to make sure that we do not let what we think should happen get in the way of what God wants to happen. Right? A lot of times we think we have this great plan all worked out in our head of how God is going to work or how God should work. But that's not always the way that God works. And we need to be open to how God is going to work and be in his word, studying and knowing his will. And Joshua finishes his address to the commanders of Israel with some very special words for the 2.5 tribes that were going to live on the other side of Jordan. Right? Because they had already received their inheritance. They had this deal with Moses that this was going to be their plot of land because it was good for raising cattle. Right, so for these 2.5 tribes, they didn't need to go in and conquer the land. But they had made a promise earlier that they could have that land, but they had to continue to help their fellow nation, and the nation to continue to conquer the land. Right, the women and children and cattle can stay there, but the men, or at least most of the men, there were probably some that did stay back to protect the women and children and cattle, had to go help. This was a promise that they gave and a promise that Moses gave these people. And Joshua wanted to ensure that the people of Israel would be united as one nation as they entered and conquered the land. They didn't want a divide of these 2.5 tribes weren't completely on board, but the rest were. Right? He wanted everyone on the same page. And with these tribes settling on the other side of Jordan, they did need to keep some men back to protect, but a majority of the men went and helped the rest of Israel conquer the land. Right? It was not ideal, but we see that Joshua was faithful to the promise that was made, and these 2.5 tribes were also faithful to the promise that was made. Now that Joshua had instructed these officers, we see what the officers said back to Joshua, how they encouraged Joshua. And one of the best blessings to a leader is when they are encouraged, when people encourage them in different ways. Right? Especially when there's a large task at hand, encouragement can be a complete game changer for these leaders. Right? Instilling that confidence, even just through simple words of encouragement, is huge. And we see that the leaders that Joshua was addressing, they were encouraging to Joshua. Joshua was encouraging them, but then they encouraged Joshua right back. And they began their encouragement by assuring him of their complete obedience. They were essentially saying, wherever you tell us to go, we're going to go. Whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do. And these officers had no hidden agenda. Right, there were no ulterior motives behind this devotion and this encouragement. They didn't do this because, well, maybe if I say this to Joshua, he might give me a better inheritance in the land. Maybe he'll give me a little bit of extra land, or maybe, you know, as we conquer these people groups, maybe I can keep a little bit of extra gold, or I can keep a couple extra cattle, or whatever it was. They didn't have these other motives. right? They were genuine when they said that they would obey all the commands given that were given to them. And wherever Joshua sent them, they would go. And this is another really good teaching point for us. Right? How do we line up with these commanders with our loyalty and encouragement? And how can we encourage those in leadership? Are we supporting those in leadership, or are we questioning those in leadership? And as we call a new pastor, I know that it would be a great encouragement to him to show our support for what he wants to do and trust that he's going to do things biblically. But it's also interesting to note how flexible these commanders were. Because these commanders were probably ones that served under Moses. It wasn't that Moses is dead, so now all of these officers were done serving, and then Joshua is going to find other officers and bring them in. These were probably officers that were under the leadership of Moses, and now there was a change of leadership and are under the leadership of Joshua. Right, and they served Moses very loyally, but yet they had no issue when they had to transition to Joshua. Right, God had appointed both Moses and Joshua, and to disobey Moses or Joshua would be to be disobeying God. Right, Joshua didn't have to explain or defend his orders. He just had to give the orders that God gave him, and the men would obey those orders. Right, there was no loyalty to Moses over Joshua or Joshua over Moses. They served Joshua to the best of their ability, to their fullest of ability, with loyalty. And I think another way first that the officers were able to encourage Joshua was that their obedience to him was a matter of life or death. Right? It wasn't just some option. They took very seriously the leadership of Joshua and their own responsibility seriously. And again, I think it's interesting to note what happened when people didn't take Joshua's order seriously. And we'll look at this account in several weeks, but think of what happened to Achan when he didn't completely listen to Joshua's commands. Right? He died for his disobedience. Right? This was a matter of life or death for that these officers. Their obedience was to them. It was a matter of life or death. And as I was studying, I was looking in one commentary, and a note that they brought up was, what would it look like if we viewed our obedience to Christ as a matter of life and death? Right? How would our service look? Right? Would there be a big difference in our lives if we viewed our ministry both in the church and to the lost as a matter of life or death? Or just as some option. Right? Oftentimes people obey God or obey what God wants us to do when we feel like it, when it's convenient for us. Sometimes we let selfish motivation creep in. Right? What can I get out of serving God? And think about it. If Joshua had soldiers like that, if he had officers like that, how effective would they have been in battle? We need to be sold out for God, just as these officers were sold out to Joshua, so that he can use us to our maximum potential. And the final way that we see these officers encourage Joshua is by reminding him of the word of God. By reminding him of the word of God. The last phrase of "be strong and of a good courage" was a statement that was told to Joshua several times. It was because it was very important. Not only was it told to him by God, but it was also told to him by others. And Moses told Joshua to be of good courage when he sent him and the other men into the land of Canaan to spy the land. Right? Moses repeated this, these words to Joshua, and in Deuteronomy when before Moses passed off the scene. And this was something that Moses was instilling in Joshua. Be strong. Be courageous. Whether it was to go spy the land or just in life in general as Moses was about to pass off the scene. And these words of being strong and being of a good courage were written in the book of the law. Right? And as Joshua commanded to be reading and studying and abiding in the book of the law, as he was commanded to do, Joshua would have been reminded about this command. As he was studying and depending on the Lord to see what his will is and studying the law and obeying the law and being in the books that he had at that time that Moses had written, he would have seen that be strong and courageous. And whereas we do not have the same privilege that Joshua may have had of God speaking directly to us, and that's in the Word of God, right? I'm not going to find anything that says, you know, Sam, do this because it's the will of God, right? And I can be encouraged that way. But we do have the Bible that does encourage us, right? We have things, well, the whole thing is encouraging for us as we look through it. And when we need encouragement, when we are down, we have large things that God needs us to do, and we're discouraged, we can go to his word to seek encouragement. We can go to his word to seek counsel, just as Joshua was commanded to do. And as we conclude this first chapter of Joshua, we see the final, I guess, pre-preparation time occur. Because as we begin into chapter 2, we're going to see that Joshua is going to send spies in the land. But we see that Joshua encouraged his officers. We see that there were commands that were given. And like any good leader, encouragement is a very important part of being able to effectively lead people. And Joshua made sure that he encouraged these officers in their effort. And likewise, these officers were able to encourage Joshua. And as we continue to look for a pastor, and whenever we call that man, we need to make sure that we encourage him to the best that we can. We encourage him like these officers encouraged Joshua. We need to think of our responsibility that we have to encourage, to make sure we support whoever fills the role of pastor. We need to make sure that we are living our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. We need to make sure that we're also viewing our ministry, viewing as our service to God as a matter of life and death, right? And the difference that would make. Let's make sure that we are viewing all that we do as service to our Lord, just as Joshua did, just as these officers did. And next week we will, or in 2 weeks, we're going to continue to look in Joshua chapter 2 and see at how they began to enter the land and conquer the land. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord, and how we can see these truths and these lessons from this historical account. We thank you for your leadership in Joshua's life, Lord, how you worked in his life and your presence with him, and how you were able to instruct him and guide him as he led the people. And we also see, Lord, how these officers were able to encourage Joshua. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to get truth or apply this truth, Lord, and that our lives may be changed. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.